Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today as once again we face the issues. Lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We invite your telephone call that we might have dialogue and discussion on our issue each and every day as we face the issues. We're asking the question today, is it time for civil disobedience? Is it time for civil disobedience? Now, I realize this is a question that multitudes perhaps have not asked, and yet at the same time, there are a lot of people asking that question today. In fact, we're seeing some of this taking place across the nation today as there's a continued lockdown and shutdown of churches and businesses across our nation. Is there a time? When is the time? What are some of the indications of that time? How should we respond to what is taking place today, especially as Christians and as conservatives? That's the question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered today as we face the issue. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the truth book. It's called the Bible. Jesus said in his word to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus identifies truth. He says in John 14:6, I am truth. And then in John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. Jesus Christ is the Logos of God, the Word of God. And therefore the Bible, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word, is the Word of God. It is truth. It is the source book of truth, not with an occasional truth, but total truth. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, it is truth. And so when we're looking for truth, we need to look through the Scripture and see what the Scripture says. And by the way, it's a good indication of that when we ask the question today, is it time for civil disobedience? Or you could ask it another way. Should civil disobedience ever be used? Especially from the Christian standpoint, should we stand against government at any point in time as Christians? Does the Bible record anything that would be evidence of that? Can we look back in history and find any evidence of Christians taking a stand against what government might order or say or demand to be done? Ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And then I turn to what I call the key to understanding and talking about truth. And it goes back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that ought to be our position today, that we're not going to just say, well, I'm going to believe everything that is said, and I'm just simply going to bury my head in the sand like an ostrich and say, whatever is said, we'll do. We need to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and then, ladies and gentlemen, defend the truth, even if we have to stand alone in doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo, Neutral Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. They also have a full staff of people that can answer all of your questions about power equipment and the power backup equipment for the hurricane preparedness. Neutral Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's exactly at the location, the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road, right at the base of the gigantic flagpole, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Find the U.S. flag at that intersection. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. The question must be asked as a predicate to what we're going to say today. Must be asked is how long should America wait for the government authorities to restore Americans our liberties and freedoms? How long should we wait before our Bill of Rights is renewed and recognized in American governmental life? How long should we wait before our Bill of Rights that have already been vacated, evacuated and eviscerated because of the virus? How long should we wait before our rights are restored to us? Attorney General William Barr said that the virus should not cause us to lose our Bill of Rights. The Attorney General William Barr said that it has not in any fashion should not have destroyed or removed our Bill of Rights. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, it seems that that is the mindset by most of our mayors and governors across America today. Why is it that all of the states that insist on continuing a full shutdown and a full shutter in place, why is it they are all the socialist, Marxist, democratically run cities and states? Why is that? How long will American citizens continue to be subjected to the tyrants and the tyrannical activities of politicians that are drunk on power? That's my question that I think we need to answer today. And I think that will give us the answer to whether or not there should be civil disobedience. And I'm speaking primarily about civil disobedience. And I realize that's taking place on a national level today in just about all of the states that are still shut down and shuttered in place. But the question is, from the Christian standpoint, from the standpoint of pastors, Christians, religious leaders, if you're listening today and you're a Christian, do you believe that pastors should stand in disobedience to a tyrannical government? Do you believe that Christians should stand and not be silenced and not be sequestered and hidden under the beds and in the closets? Andrew Neapolitano, the judge, says this: the country has gone from a free state to a police state in a period of 6 weeks. He says, yesterday, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin said to the governor's people, you do not have the authority for lockdown. Only the legislature does. And the legislature told us they won't do it. And they can't write our own laws and enforce laws that are just written by fiat. That violates the Wisconsin Constitution, and by the way, the American Constitution, and therefore the lockdown is called, is ended, according to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now, we've had other court actions. There are court actions taking place against the governor of Michigan, the governor of Kentucky, the governor of Oregon, the governor of California, the governor of Washington State. All of these now have, and probably many others that I have not talked about, these cases are working their way through the courts to determine, does the government have that authority? And Andrew Neapolitano says this further: I don't expect the same thing to happen in Michigan, but Tucker, he's talking to Tucker Carlson, the definition of a free state is one where the laws are written to uphold personal liberties. The definition of a police state is one where the laws are written legitimately or not to uphold the government's wants, end quote. All of a sudden, in a period of 6 weeks, going from a free state, this is happening in all 50 states, the judge says, we're going to a police state. The example of who you just cited in Michigan is the violation not only the Michigan law and the Michigan Constitution, but the United States Constitution also. The governor of Michigan can't take the livelihood away from an individual. He spoke out because he spoke out against her. Civil disobedience. This is the judge, Judge Neapolitano, says this. Civil disobedience is probably the next step if these governors do not come to their senses and their sense of reason, because the authority that they are enacting is absolutely illegitimate and unconstitutional, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that sets the stage for my question and for our dialogue and discussion today on this broadcast. Is it time for Christians to take a stand? Finally, in California, 3,000 churches, pastors have gathered together and said, we just can't stay locked down anymore. They've been locked down for about 6 or 8 weeks. They're saying that we can't do it anymore. And so they filed a class action suit against the governor, saying that they're going to, on May the 31st, they're going to open their doors. Well, a little parenthetical footnote from me. I believe they should have opened the doors 2 months ago. I think that it is unconstitutional, illegal, unenforceable for any government to say that a church cannot remain open and will not view the church as an essential business. If you can have pot shops and liquor stores, if you can have big box stores and grocery stores open, surely a church is as essential as all of those would be. But ladies and gentlemen, we're being subjected to the tyrannical politicians today that, as one writer said, a drunk on power. Why should law-abiding citizens sit in silence as their entire lives, their lifetime of building a business or in a church is being destroyed, literally eviscerated? Here's a headline. Tucker Carlson said, during coronavirus pandemic, totalitarianism doesn't seem to shock us anymore. And I believe that it should shock us, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I've not seen any court action that's vacated, evacuated, or in any way eviscerated our Bill of Rights. And beyond our Bill of Rights, it is the rights that we have that God has given us. You see, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to a fundamental. God has given us our human rights, our natural rights, that are then by our founding fathers transferred to our civil rights in the Constitution through our Bill of Rights. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that our rights are coming from God and not from government, and therefore they cannot be in any way set aside under any circumstances. We have watched, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you, for our edification, a little thumbnail sketch, and this is just a little smattering of all that's taking place across America. We've watched a salon owner in Texas, when she opened her business and was fined $7,000 and 7 days in jail. We watched as a 78-year-old barbershop owner, was threatened by the authorities and fined, and then after he continued to operate his business, his professional license was canceled, withdrawn summarily to force obedience, to force submission to the government over him. He, in an interview on television, a 78-year-old man, he said, I've done this for 46 years. He said, I'm going to keep cutting hair and will not stop unless Jesus walks in the door. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the forces that are beyond his control have basically sequestered that right. They have curtailed his right to make a living. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at our 10th Amendment, first of all, let's just review them. The First Amendment, Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the 10th Amendment, the 14th Amendment. If you look at those together, you find that what is taking place in America today is totally, totally, not only unbiblical, unauthoritatively given by God, but also it is unconstitutional based on our Bill of Rights. Also, we see, ladies and gentlemen, where churches are forced to close, where pastors are fined, where those that are worshiping, even sitting in the cars, have been fined $500, and tickets given, where pastors, as the one that I interviewed recently on this broadcast from up in Massachusetts, where he was fined $300 on one occasion, $500 on the next occasion, and then there's a continual fine each time he has a worship service in his church, never mind the fact, notwithstanding the fact, that he's had a greater sterilization process and cleansing of the church than most businesses, certainly more than you'd find in Walmart's or Home Depot or Lowe's or in Publix or any of the grocery stores across America. But yet we find, ladies and gentlemen, this is happening. It's still happening. Now, I'm thankful that there are some states that have started to, as they call it, open up. There are some states that are going back now and revisiting it and saying, yes, churches are essential. I'm thankful that in the state of Florida, our governor has said that churches are essential. Albeit, there are a number of churches that remained open all through this so-called pandemic, the horror stages of where everybody was supposed to die. If you breathe fresh air, if you go out into church. By the way, I find it fascinating and yet sad. There's a mindset somehow that the virus is only found at church. Did you realize that? Church is the only place where the virus would be found. Why do I say that? Because people find no problem with going to Publix, find no problem with going to Walmarts. They find no problem with going to Home Depot or Lowe's. They find no problem with going to any of these other businesses that are open, liquor stores and otherwise. But it's only in a church where the virus is supposed to be found. It's only in a church where there's a forced mandated rule in place by the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic leadership that are governors and mayors in these cities that seem to want to the public to think that somehow, some way, I can go to every place else. I can go to get something at the grocery store. I can go to the drugstore. I can go all of these places where you have multitudes of people, and it's okay because I've got to go. But somehow, some way, you must stay out of church. In fact, on one occasion, my bride had the communication with someone that's in another state, and she was sharply criticizing churches for opening up. She said, if you want to go to church, just sit and watch it on television or watch it online. And that's the mindset that the lost public has today that says that you can't go to church because you might die if you go to church. You've got to be careful that the virus hangs out around those worship places, and they're not there in number as it would be thought that you should think on the basis, well, if there's a pandemic out there, if there's a virus out there, and the virus is real. But I am astounded by the fact that it's majorly found in churches, as I understand from those prognosticators and those that are saying that somehow, some way, you shouldn't go to church. Churches still should be closed. We're finding, ladies and gentlemen, a salon owner in Oregon. She opened her business. She was fined $14,000. Now her family is being harassed and intimidated and investigated by the state authorities in the state of Oregon. Here's the article. It says salon owner facing lockdown fine, now says state targeting her children. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I don't know of anything that's any more done anymore for anything other than intimidation than this. This is saying what they are doing to this dear lady in Oregon. They're saying, we're going to make an example out of her so that everybody else will bow and bend and will simply say, okay, we'll obey the government. This article dated May 18th. An Oregon salon owner who has been fined for reopening her business in defiance of the Democratic governor, Kate Brown, Kate Brown's stay-at-home executive order, says she's now under investigation by the state's Child Protective Services. The lady's name is Lindsey Graham, owner of Glamour Salon, reopened her salon May the 5th, explaining she had the contractors that she supervises need to take care of their families. Graham also has been fined $14,000 by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration for, quote, operating a hazardous facility for employees. She's fighting the fine, arguing her workers are contractors, not employees. Now, Graham says the state is investigating her care of her own three children. Listen to this. At this point, I'm deciding that it's more important for me to feed my family and pay the bills that are going to keep our home and family alive than to take the risk to remain being shut down for an undisclosed amount of time, Graham told the news media. The state, retaliated against her, this article says. She said by sending investigators to her home. Here's the essence of the article. What's going on? Every day, more and more politicians across America, especially blue state governors and mayors, are suddenly acting like full-blown dictators. It's all exposed as never before in what we see happening. This article says, this lady says, they questioned my husband. They questioned me. They questioned my child without my presence. They searched our home. Ladies and gentlemen, they didn't have a search warrant, but they searched their home. She told reporters, I never expected such violence, aggressive, and vindictive things could ever be done to me and my family in America. I am trying to earn a living because I'm trying to work. She said her sons, who are 8 weeks old and 6 years old, and her three-year-old daughter. And she says she also was accused of breaking her lease agreement by violating the governor's coronavirus response order. I'm almost broken, she says. I'm almost closing, which is terrifying to me. Further in the article, it says other things that are taking place. A couple who moved from New York to Kentucky and were opening up a bank account were forced to bring their five young children inside the bank because they couldn't leave them unsupervised in the car. When they returned home, they found a Child Protective Service investigator and law enforcement officers waiting. The couple's attorney speculated a bank employee might have abused the state's anonymous reporting system as retaliation for the family not adhering to social distance guidelines in the state, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see happening across America today. And you wonder why the question, is it time for civil disobedience? Or is there ever a time that there should be civil disobedience? Ladies and gentlemen, a music store owner breaks down weeping because he's lost his life's dreams and his future has just been destroyed. This article says, music store owner weeps as Whitmer, that's the governor of Michigan, forces him to give up his dreams. A Michigan man with a passion for music and teaching children has seen his life's work wiped away and with the stroke of a pen by the Democratic Governor Whitmer. Steve Walker, the owner of Walker Music and Textile in Hastings, Michigan, wept as he spoke to the media during a recent interview in which he said Michigan's lockdown order had forced him and his wife out of business. Walker put the human face on it, what is taking place. He says, unfortunately, my dream is dead. This is what he says. This is my dream. Shutting it down, closing out this phase of my life. I won't be at retail shop anymore. It won't be there inviting environment for kids to come and that love music and learn how to play music. I've been sitting here for 60 days watching my neighbors do business day in and day out. They aren't thriving, but they are surviving. There's no reason I couldn't have done the same thing. But he was targeted and his music store shut down, destroying lives and breaking families up and destroying the dreams simply by eviscerating and destroying our Bill of Rights just because of a virus. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I've said this many times on this broadcast. Let me say it once again. These are simply wish lists that these governors and mayors are coming up with on their executive orders. A law is a law when it is a bill that's been debated and discussed in committees and subcommittees, and then on the floor of the House and the Senate in any state. And if it is voted out with a majority vote, then it can be signed by the governor, then it becomes law. Other than that, it's just a wish list for wannabe tyrants that is simply unconstitutional, unenforceable, and illegal. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, Jim defies shutdown order and reopens in New Jersey. By the way, New Jersey is where Chris Murphy is the governor. Chris Murphy, in an interview on television, said that when Tucker Carlson asked him had he considered the Bill of Rights when he gave his edicts and his orders, he said he hadn't even considered the Bill of Rights. In fact, when asked further about the Bill of Rights, he said, that's above my pay grade. And yet he's the governor of a state that's basically destroying lives and destroying businesses in the state of New Jersey. But this gym owner defies that order and reopens. You've seen it on national news. He said he did not, his intent was not to make a scene. His intent was not to try to bring about harm to anyone. But he had gone through the process of getting all of his equipment set up so that it's six feet apart. And every one of the attendees, he had put in a cleansing policy that would make it sterile. And yet he reopened. The article says the coronavirus shutdown is impacting Alice Gym in Belmar, New Jersey. The owners reopened Monday against the governor's orders. We truly believe that if we don't do this, in the end, we will have zero rights and no say in what happens, the owner of the gym said. He posted a video following the staff's decision to defy state orders and risk arrest by opening the gym doors. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you would call civil disobedience. Why is that so? Because the governor in New Jersey, for example, said, don't. This property owner, this business owner, this one with a legitimate business says, I'm going to go out and open my business anyway. He says, it's a choice that garnered national media attention, this writer said. He goes further to say, we've lost a loved one. This owner of the gym says, we've lost a loved one to COVID-19, and the decision certainly did not come about as a result of financial gain, but to exercise our rights under our Constitution. He says, the government has failed at protecting our rights and failed at protecting our health. We're proposing an organized, peaceful reopening of our state, not just our business, but he said, for all businesses. Now, that is civil disobedience. It is where an individual says, the government says that you can't open, but I'm going to open anyway, because I believe it's the right thing to do. Ladies and gentlemen, he's been ticketed. He's been treated as a criminal. He's been charged simply because of taking that stand. But across America, we have been witnessing the collapse of our social, economic, religious, and foundational structure of the United States of America. So the question is, should we sit in silence? Should we be silent any longer? Where's the breaking point? Where do you decide that we must move forward and do something about it? Here's an article, and I'm just going to read parts of it before our break. But this is a lengthy article that deserves some of our attention. It says, drunk on power. Pandemic crisis reveals many politicians have a love affair with totalitarianism. Americans are confronted with it every day. More and more politicians across the nation are suddenly acting like full-blown dictators. One question. We will arrest you, our statement. We will arrest you, and we will make you, we will take you to jail. We're not playing games, said Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot to the city residents attending parties in violation of her stay-at-home order. Meanwhile, Lightfoot managed to slip out and get her herself a hairdo while shutting down all of Chicago's hair salons. For everyone else, they could not go out. She could. She said, I take my personal hygiene very seriously, is what the mayor is saying, when she threatens all of the city residents. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a vacuous, void, empty threat, but they are placing people in a position of becoming lawbreakers as common citizens as a result of simply doing what they think they need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour. That is our news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to continue our conversation today on Let's Face the Issues with Is It Time for Civil Disobedience? Hang in there 1 minute. We'll be right back as we continue today's broadcast.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.